The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings everybody, and a big welcome to Climate Matters number 149. I'm Lindsay Wood, I'm the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited. And Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. It's also broadcast across the Canterbury region on Plains Media and to the Wairarapa on Arrow FM. Well, today we're actually covering externalities. I've wanted to have a bit of a dive into this for a while, and several things crossed my desk to point me in that direction. So just to frame it, Oxford Languages Online tells us that externality is an economics concept referring to, and I'm quoting, a consequence of an industrial or commercial activity which affects other parties without this being reflected in the market prices, i.e. it refers to impacts of making or using a product that are not reflected in the cost, and the environment offers us classic opportunities. The other parties in the definition can be the environment, and a classic example is an extractive industry that doesn't fully account for environmental or social harms from their operation. And that could cover a lot of extractive industries. Global warming is an externality on steroids. For the oil sector, they continue to pursue record profits while disowning the record harm their products cause. Well, that may be a strange thing to say during the Iranian turmoil, but as a general rule, that applies. However, in Climate Matters 149, we stretch the externality concept a little to encompass a whole sweep of things that are excluded from decision making. And here's some of the things you'll find. Then what? Looking through a wide boundary lens, which in a way is the flip side of having a lot of externalities. Then the classic mantra for externalities, privatizing profits and socializing costs. Next item is, before we point the finger too hard, an encouragement to look in the mirror a little bit. Then there's no such place as away. And another one is the PM externality. Is the PM externalizing reality again? Politicians externalizing what they don't want us to see. Peak Indifference Revisited. Surely we can't externalize time. Well, yes, we do. Bean counting and the meaning of life. So lots to get through. And here is, talking about the meaning of life, a quiz. What is 42 and what does it have to do with externalities? And then what? Looking through a wide boundary lens. Nate Hagans, who I've often referenced, puts great emphasis on wide boundary thinking, rightly so too. Things can look seriously different as we widen our view. And he's got a great podcast, And Then What? There'll be several links to this episode, and they'll be in the show notes on the Fresh FM webpage. His podcast, And Then What?, illustrates this idea of wide boundary thinking across a huge array of fields such as debt, electric vehicles and AI, and even both growth and degrowth. So there's a lot to think about there. Wide boundary thinking leads to better decision making by considering factors we are often externalizing. It's well worth a 26-minute watch there, or listen. Hagans is also, watch is probably best there because it's quite a visual episode, that one. Hagans has also recently added a wide boundary news segment to his regular Frankly podcast series, and we'll give a link to where you can find those. Right, privatizing profits and socializing costs. Treating society and nature as, quotes, externalities, close quotes, is widely accepted in the quest to maximize business profit, and the harms are often invisible or hard to detect or manifest themselves long after the activity that caused them. An extreme case is looming ecological collapse due to the slowing of the deep ocean circulation. That in turn is due to diminishing sea ice, which is due to global warming, which is due to carbon dioxide emissions due to combusting fossil fuels. So there's a long chain of events resulting in externalizing a major ecosystem. Triple bottom line accounting, you may have heard of, and that seeks to, I'll say, internalize at least some of those externalities and better reflect the social and environmental costs in business reporting. It's typically done against what's called the three P's, planet, people, and profit. And we'll give a link to a Harvard Business School article on that. But before we point the finger too hard, it's impossible to live without some measure of externality. How far do we go, considering, for example, whether our footfall might squash an ant, or if the rice we bought was produced by exploited labour in a far-off country? I try to own my own actions, and where I find there are climate harms, I try to set my own boundaries. But I'm no saint. Here's a couple of examples of my own journey. Chocolate. The environmental and social harms of chocolate are massive and little publicised. Ivory Coast, the world's largest producer, has lost, get this, some 80% of its rainforest to cocoa plants. And many indigenous people now live close to slavery, while most people up the value chain benefit. Here's a quote from a report called Chocolate's Dark Secret. The ballooning global demand for chocolate means that if nothing is done, by 2030, there will be no forest left. That's terrible. Check out a link to celebrated writer Fred Pierce. I've quoted him before. He's an outstanding environmental and climate commentator. And then in a double irony, climate change now threatens the chocolate industry itself. There's a UN paper called Crumbling Empire of Chocolate, which we'll link to. Do I buy no chocolate at all? No. Have I dramatically reduced my chocolate purchases? Yes. At a guess, I'd say I've reduced them 90%. Here's another personal take on flying. Unlike chocolate, the climate harms of flying are well known. And as a society, we certainly haven't passed peak indifference on that. My own circumstances put me on a personal flying roller coaster a few years ago, and they landed me on prioritizing the purpose of flight and rationing the flight's length and frequency. To put flying in context, one return economy flight New Zealand to Europe can counteract the formation of about 60 square meters of Antarctic sea ice per passenger. Business class is three or four times that. It is a big deal. Here's an example. I will buy chocolate for a rare gift or a special occasion. I will sometimes buy chocolate if it's a small part of a big item. I can think there of maybe chocolate chip biscuits. I'll buy them on a special occasion if I can't find any alternative, and I will never buy them if I just feel like chocolate. In personal flying, I will feel it's fine to fly in an emergency. I will sometimes fly for a special family event. I used to fly for romance, and that was one of the reasons that the romance came to an end, and I will not fly for recreation or for entertainment. Now, there's no such place as away. Nature is the perennial casualty. And thanks to a longtime friend, Tony, who often reminds us there is no such place as away. The classic catch-all phrase of just throw it away typifies how easily we externalize nature and the natural environment at so many levels, whether it's personally putting something we don't want in a trash sack, or waste products released from industry, or simply starting our fossil fuel car. It's so easy not to give a thought to the pollution being caused or where it all ends up. The Substack copy of Climate Matters included a cartoon showing two bedraggled people on a raft out in the sea. Obviously, they're shipwrecks trying to find somewhere safe. And one of them is saying, hello, we can't be far from civilization because the sea is starting to fill up with rubbish. Keeping going, because we've a bit to get through. Is the Prime Minister externalizing reality again? Climate Matters 148 flagged 8 important economic factors Mr. Luxon did not seem to account for in his self-claimed understanding of the economy. In his soft-pedaling the current fuel crisis, Luxon seems intent on ignoring reality again. Whether it's the alerts sounded by JP Morgan and Westpac's chief economist, we'll link to both of those, or the detailed framing of the fuel situation in another excellent Substack post by Nathan Surendran, we just don't know quite what reality Mr. Luxon is looking at. And earlier in the crisis, Jesse Mulligan of Radio New Zealand posted, waiting for what? A wonderful and wonderfully simple metaphor for the situation that even the Prime Minister should be able to grasp. The best Mr. Luxon seems able to offer is a nudge-nudge, wink-wink type exchange with his South Korean counterpart and searching markets for more fuel. The Prime Minister seems oblivious to the precautionary principle and to real risk, not to be confused with the risk of losing votes. In a masterstroke of emergency management, he told Radio New Zealand he was leaving it to fuel importers and distributors to organise how to allocate fuel. I hope the PM doesn't drive as casually as he runs the country. Now, I should say that that was written at the beginning of April. Things might be very different by the time you are listening to this. So just please see that comment in its time context. Politics of externalities. Politicians are champions in exploiting externalities by taking a narrow focus on what they want and ignoring counter-arguments. We only need to look at Climate Matters' methane target special in October to find 3 blatant cases. And here are 3 from that Climate Matters. The government externalised their own legislated independent climate advisory body, the Climate Change Commission. Because the government didn't like the methane advice the CC was giving, i.e. it clashed with the government's dogma, instead the government appointed a probably less independent methane advisory panel to prepare fresh advice. So they externalised the Climate Change Commission. The terms of reference for the new panel externalised the ability of the panel to mention that such a policy, that's the no additional warming policy, increased the decarbonisation burden on the rest of the country. The ag sector's political arms, and this is item 3 from the same Climate Matters, the Federated Farmers Beef and Lamb and Dairy NZ had done their best to externalise their own researchers' advice. And this is, the researchers said, the reduction of agricultural methane represents the greatest opportunity to reduce New Zealand's contribution to warming. And they actually were, their attempt to externalise that was revealed by the Parliamentary Commissioner to the Environment, Simon Upton, who wrote to those bodies, and we can link to his letter, this important policy-relevant finding, that is what their own researcher just said, was buried in an appendix to an appendix in your submission to the Climate Change Commission, i.e. they've externalised it. Not hard to imagine the same applies to things like the contentious LNG terminal and many other government projects. Okay, rolling on, peak indifference revisited. It's exactly 7 years since Climate Matters 21 reported Wired.com using the term peak indifference and saying the US had passed it when more than 50% of Republicans accepted climate change was real. Yale University has a great set of 27 maps charting the US state by state on climate beliefs perceived risks and policy. And there's some pretty interesting results, like 72% on average believe climate change is happening, but only 45% think they personally will be adversely affected by it. Surely we can't externalize time. Well, yes, we can and do. Our systems are packed with processes that directly or indirectly externalize time. For example, every council has a long-term plan with a 10-year horizon, i.e. 11 years and more, is in essence externalized. Then we have electoral cycles and company returns and annual plans and so on. While related timeframes are usually set for good reason, they tend to pull the focus away from the wide boundary thinking we so badly need, and they rarely fit well with the much longer timeframes that climate issues demand. You may have heard the term patient capital, which is used to describe long-term investment that prioritizes sustainable growth and social environmental impact over quick financial returns. That's quoting from Wikipedia. But then there's a far more insidious process that tends to externalize the future by default, often in a way we hardly notice. When a report says, for example, a climate strategy is not cost-effective, it almost never states the timeframe over which such effectiveness is being appraised. The implied default is just a 1-year or a 3-year period, and it gets worse if the cost is just taken as the initial upfront cost and we disregard ongoing operational costs. For example, on a default 1 or 3 year period, looking just at front-end costs, we would never insulate our houses because they wouldn't pay themselves off in such a short period. The same could be said about electric vehicles. If you only evaluate the dollars, then how do you factor in cutting emissions or appalling labor conditions in cobalt mines, etc.? Having said that, EVs do make a lot of economic sense as well, as soon as you start to factor them over more than about 3 years. So here's a hotter tip for a cooler planet. Put on your wide boundary glasses, and next time you hear that climate action isn't cost effective, ask, in comparison to what? The chances are it A, assumes a very short timescale, and B, it will almost invariably ignore the staggering cost of not taking effective climate action. Climate Matters 148 referenced that. Bean counting and the meaning of life. In The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, some of you will recall that if you're an older reader or an age of my generation. In a prescient nod in the book to AI, there was a supercomputer called Deep Thought, and it found that the answer to this question, the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything, was 42. So there's the answer to the quiz. In so doing, it highlighted the folly of trying to quantify such profound issues. The accounting literature around externalities is full of diagrams seeking to quantify or at least to illustrate such profound issues. I've done enough mathematical modeling in my time to know, on the one hand, it's often important to give modeling these things a shot, if only as a framework for discussion. And on the other hand, modeling them can give quite an illusory sense of explaining complex and nuanced issues in a deceptively innocent precision which doesn't really apply. They can also lead to extremely dispassionate views towards people and nature. So, for example, diagrams like that below, I'm reading here from the actual Substack, and there's a diagram with a chart with about 3 or 4 angled lines of different colors and codes and things plotting costs and benefits against the output of products or manufacturing. I won't try and unpick it, but the point really is that they are portraying matters of enormous social or environmental moment in simple charts and so on. And anyway, that's it for today. We have to finish there. I'm a bit over time anyway. Thank you so much for your company, and I do hope I enjoy it again next week. As you know, Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and of other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.